Welcome to Tearing It Off. I'm here with Megan. How's it going?
Very good, Mirage.
Thank you for plugging my name in there. You know how to do this now, right?
We're pros. We're total pros in Rhode Island.
Absolutely. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about myths and facts and how to tell the difference. But to begin, we have kind of a fun word of the day for you that's not quite related, but kind of a little bit. Why don't you tell us what our word of the day is?
It's a little random trivia, but it was a word that I came across, a phrase that I heard, and I really came to giggle when I heard it. So
giggles are the best.
I like giggling. So I don't know if you've ever heard the expression, generally men will use it of they have to do the three S's before they go out for the evening.
Three S's, okay. Shave?
Shave is definitely one of them.
Pause.
What do we usually tell little boys that they have to do? What do mothers or fathers usually have to throw their three-year-old or four-year-olds to do as after they've been playing?
You know what's funny is that you told me what they were just before and I really can't remember.
So maybe this speaks about you, but shower.
Oh, shower. Okay.
Okay, so we shave and we shower. Those are good hygiene things.
But girls do that too. You're telling me about, like, to think about what parents tell boys to do.
You still couldn't come up with the answer.
Okay.
Really, she has good hygiene.
Okay, so we've got shave and shower.
And then we have the one that I don't generally like to talk about unless it's in a sexual situation, which would be shit. So the three S's are shit, shower, and shave.
And shit comes first. That's funny.
Yes.
Okay.
So I found the, let's say, girl version of the three S's.
Okay, what is it?
And it's called the PTA.
PTA. Is P like actual P?
No, it's not for P.
Okay, what is it?
It stands for pussy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we've got pussy for P. T is the?
Tits.
Tits. And the A is the?
Ass.
There we go. So using it in a sentence, and someone would say, I need to do a quick PTA sponge bath before I go out.
Okay. So actually, women are much more focused on hygiene because it's all about the hygiene.
Right.
In this one.
Right.
And I mean, I guess SSS are also hygiene related.
Well, girls don't generally talk about shitting.
That's a good point. Girls do not shit.
Right. They don't do any of those things. And that's a good segue into myths and facts for our show today.
Precisely. Okay, so let's get into our first question. My penis has not grown since I've taken pills for it. Is that bad?
Your penis is not going to grow despite the fact that you took pills for it, because your penis will not grow with pills. It is a big fat myth that taking pills or rubbing special cream or doing special exercises or being hypnotized will make your penis grow.
Okay.
It just doesn't happen.
All right.
Nor does pulling on it too long or too many times cause it to grow.
Okay.
The thing that will make it grow is puberty.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yes. And so that usually ends around the age of 17. Penis will stop growing.
Okay. Well, that's definitely a good one. It saves you money.
Yes. And so those late night commercials of Extends and all these things that you take that Ron Jeremy endorses and says, I grew half an inch, or they've got lovely ladies clinging on the sides of men saying, oh, the sex is so much better because bigger penises equal better sex, is a big fat myth.
Right. That's the other myth, of course. All right. Well, that's definitely a good thing to know.
That was a simple one, too.
Yeah. You know, just like, let's get the answer out there.
Yep.
No, it won't work. Save your money. Will it do anything bad for you, though?
They're not FDA regulated, so they don't have to be monitored in terms of how it affects the body.
Uh-huh.
So heart attacks can occur with them because it can raise like blood pressure levels.
So they're not just sugar pills that claim to do the impossible. They're actually like, there is some chemical in there that could be potentially bad for you.
Absolutely. I mean, anything can be potentially bad for you, but the problem is it's not regulated by the FDA. So we don't necessarily know what the dangers are that are associated with it because it's not studied. So there's warning labels on it, and you should, of course, read those warning labels because they're different for each person, but there isn't a governing body that will make sure that this is a safe product for humans.
Well, now that we've cleared that one up, I guess, you know, myths, it's either yes or no, so we don't really have to Dwell on that.
Right.
All right, next question. If I use a vibrator, will I desensitize my clit?
Big fat no to that one.
Big fat no.
Big fat no to desensitizing the clit. You are not going to burn out your clitoris by using a vibrator or by masturbating or by having somebody go down on you or by watching porn. None of these things will desensitize your clitoris. If you use a vibrator for a half hour and give yourself a 5-minute break and then go directly to using your hand after that half hour vibrator time, things may feel a little dull because you've had a vibrator on you, which is going thousands of times a second versus your fabulous little fingers. They can't go that fast. So it's not going to feel the same. And you may be nervous of, oh my God, I desensitized myself. You just got to let your nerves kind of calm down, relax, and then go back into action.
Right. Okay.
Other people get concerned that when they're with their partners, it takes them longer to come than when they use a vibrator. And so they're like, oh my God, I desensitized myself with my partner. So what I tend to tell people with this is that you didn't desensitize, you're just lazy. Because with a vibrator, you can get off in, let's say, 5 minutes.
Right.
But with your partner, who doesn't know...
It's going to take longer.
It's going to take longer because they don't know what you're thinking, they don't know what you're feeling, and they're not moving that fast. So we've got now 10 or 15 minutes that it takes people. So rest assured, vibrators will not desensitize you.
And however long it takes, you know, more time to enjoy yourself.
That's right. It's all about the pleasure.
Exactly. It's not like the ultimate goal. It's not a race.
That's goal-focused sex.
Exactly.
When we try to get to that end point, that orgasm. And it only lasts for a few seconds.
And it can be stressful to just have that in mind all the time instead of just enjoying the process.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons of why some people can't come, because they're so focused on having the orgasm that they lose sight of all the fun things that are happening to their body that could bring them to orgasm. So when they're really focused on just one thing, they lose sight of everything else and it becomes more difficult for them to climax.
Okay.
So use those vibrators if you're comfortable using them.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there are vibrators of many types, so you can find the one that's right for you.
That's right.
Well, next question / myth or fact, we'll let Megan answer that. Does anal sex make your ass bigger?
Oh, I love this one. This question is so great because not only does it have a fear of body parts getting bigger, but it also has huge racial stereotypes associated with it.
Really?
Yeah. So this question, does the ass get bigger?
Do we mean, I think we talked about this in our anal sex podcast actually at one point, but I'm going to ask this again. Do you mean by bigger that the actual butt cheeks get bigger or that the asshole gets bigger?
It's the butt cheeks that people are referring to.
I see.
But we could go with the asshole too.
Okay.
So which one do you want to focus on first, the hole or the cheeks?
Let's focus on the cheeks because you said that's what people seem to be most concerned about.
Okay. So there's this myth that people who are of color engage in more anal play, and the reason that they have bigger butts is because they engage in more anal play than white people.
I see.
So if you engage in anal play, then maybe you're going to have a black person's butt.
Wow, that is very racist.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it speaks of the fear of, like, maybe I shouldn't engage in anal play because I don't want to have black person's features, so to speak. It's a really heavily laced question.
And could potentially be very uncomfortable for an African-American person who has a nice full butt.
Yes, a badunkadunk.
A badunkadunk? I have never heard that before. Forgive me if I totally mispronounced that.
It could also, we could look at it the other way and play devil's advocate, and it could be a person who's got a flat butt who's like, maybe if I have anal play, I'll get an ass.
Right.
So we could look at it in that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to happen.
It's okay.
No.
Myth.
Myth.
Again.
The thing that will make you have a bigger butt is doing exercises and strengthening your butt muscles.
Uh-huh.
Making your butt muscles, because your butt muscles are a muscle. Well, I just said that. So you can make them bigger by doing certain
squats.
Types. Yes.
And lunges.
I don't exercise, so I don't know exactly which exercises
I do.
They
I'm
would
an exercise buff.
So the hole, shall
I'm
we go to
I'm not even
going to
answer whether that's a myth or not. You'll just have to find out.
And I'm not even commenting on what she looks like or what her ass looks like.
No. So this is radio, baby.
I'm just fiddling with my stockings.
You're the best at describing what we actually do in the studio. So, yes, what about the hole getting bigger?
So, the hole is not going to become stretched out. I was recently reading on this website, it's created by the conservative women's movement, that talks about anal is for exit only. And
what does that mean?
That means that you should not put anything in your butt. It should not happen.
Oh, right, for exit. Gotcha.
Exit only. Okay. The butt is an exit only. And so they talk about the fact, and I've heard a college around here actually talk about the fact that if you engage in anal sex, that you will do serious damage to your anus, to your rectum. You'll blow out your anus. You'll make it bigger. You won't be able to control your poo, all of those sorts of things. And this is not scientifically proven.
Okay.
It's not. The thing that people, what is scientifically proven is people who play with their butts have healthier butts than people who don't play with their butts.
Really?
Yep.
How does it make your butt healthier?
Because they're more aware of when something is going wrong with their ass because they pay attention. Our culture tends to live in a very ass-phobic, I don't have an asshole unless there's a problem with it.
Right.
And so people who play with their butts tend to be very aware of the foods that they're eating, the foods that are coming out of them, how their butts are feeling. And if something goes wrong, they go to the doctor quicker or they change their diet. They're very careful about the way that they use their ass, the way that their bodies use it. And so science has shown us that people who play with their butts are healthier than people who don't. But we don't talk about that. We hear rumors at some of the Catholic colleges that say if you stick something in your butt, you know, evil spirits will come out.
I mean, when you go to the doctor, if there's a problem, what do you think he does? He puts his finger in your butt.
Yes.
That might pose a problem for those people. Okay.
Did I ever tell you my favorite story about a doctor at BU?
No, tell me.
So doctors as a whole, I love them dearly, but they tend to be a little on the shyer side, especially with like sexual issues per se.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a very famous doctor who torments the third year students. And so third year is where you have to practice doing exams on students. So a student will come out and report, you know, how the exam went, and the doctor will be like, did you do a rectal exam? And the student will usually say no, because they don't usually like doing rectal exams at first. And the doctor will be like, why didn't you do the rectal exam? Why didn't you do and ride this medical student? And the student usually starts sweating. The doctor will kind of back off a little bit. He'll be like, okay, I'll let you get out of this. There are two acceptable answers that'll allow you for not having done the rectal exam. Do you know what they are? No. Okay. Well, the only two examples I will allow would be either A, the patient doesn't have an asshole, or B, you don't have a finger. And since I looked at the chart and I didn't see that the patient was missing an asshole, and I can clearly see you have all of your fingers, you need to go back into that room and do a rectal exam.
Wow. It's important.
It is. Doing rectal exams is very important.
Not as pleasurable as anal sex could be.
That's right. Having exams by your doctor is not like fun time.
It's not a sexual experience. At least it shouldn't be.
Right. It definitely shouldn't be.
Unless
we're playing doctor.
Exactly. Ethics here. Very important.
Okay. So, no, you're not going to stretch your anus out and your butt cheeks aren't going to get bigger based on anal play.
So those are a few myths that we have there for you. If you have any other questions, we, of course, would be very happy to answer you. You just can go over to omegan.com. That's OHMEGAN.com.
You spell my name right.
Oh, should hope so. We've been doing this a while. I hope I know how to spell your name. But yes, let's end with our fact of the day. You know, we've got all these myths now. Let's go into facts.
So I found this, I found this website early on when I started becoming interested in the field of sexology, and it's called Jane's Guide.
Jane's Guide.
Yep. And okay. So Jane's Guide reviews sexually explicit websites, whether it be sex education, porn, products, and reviews them for the average consumer. And I like her tagline. Her tagline is, we waste our time so that you don't have to.
Very nice.
And so what she does is her and her crew will look over websites that are sexually explicit and give it either a thumbs up, an original, a staff pick, or this website's crap type of review. And so there's this little picture of a stick figure woman with like a thumbs up or like a light bulb over her head. And if you see that says we're reviewed by Jane's Guide, you can know that you're getting a quality type of website. Or you can at least click on that little emblem of Jane.
Right.
And they will give a description of what the site is all about. Is it mostly selling stuff? Is the stuff reputable? Is it a sex education site? Are they trying to sell you porn? So it really breaks down what the site is behind, because sometimes people will put information out there like it's fact, this is the holy grail, and they're just selling you stuff. So it's a really easy way for consumers to navigate through the sex world without it being too clinical.
So you can just go to Jane's Guide's website, or does Jane's Guide also feature on other websites that you find?
So, for instance, I was reviewed on Jane's Guide. So I have on my front page, I have the little picture of Jane on my website. And when you click on it, it will give the review that's hosted on her site.
Okay.
So there's two ways of getting the information. Either on the website itself, or you can look on Jane's Guide. Because if she gives a bad review, I really don't think that they're going to post it on their website.
Right. That's a good
so
point.
You may want to check janesguide.com first to see if they've reviewed it. They have a little search button.
Okay, so janesguide.com, JanesGuide.com?
Yes.
Great. I guess that wraps up our Myths and Facts episode. And thank you for joining us on Tearing It Off with Megan and Mirage.
As always, have fun playing.